Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly of God podcast. We hope you enjoy this week's message. We'd love to hear what God is doing through this ministry. If you have a story to share, send us an email at connect@bedfordfirstag.org. Also, feel free to visit our website at bedfordfirstag.org. You can view the live stream of our services and find out more about our church. Thanks for listening.
Lift a praise to him this morning. Glory to you, Lord. Glory to you, Lord. Praise your holy name. Praise your holy name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Ushers, if you'll come and help us out this morning, we want to give to the Lord. I do want to mention to you as they're coming. This coming Saturday from 9 to noon, I heard the weather this morning, listened to it. They said next Saturday is supposed to be a beautiful day. So instead of going to the park or somewhere else, come on out for a couple of hours and help us out. We'll make short order. If there's enough of us, we may be able to finish in just an hour or two. But we need to do some cleanup on the outside of the building. Get it ready for the winter time, and bring along some tools. If you have yard working tools, bring them along, because we don't have enough to provide for everybody. But come on out and help us. We'll have a good time just fellowshipping and being together, as well as cleaning up the church. Amen. That's the look some of you give me. I know you're thinking about all kinds of other things right now, but this is a good thing. Amen. And by the way, we do have church on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, 7 to 8 o'clock, a great place to be. We worship the Lord. We have good opportunity to interact with one another, and that is needed. It's biblical. We can have questions and answers, and you might learn something along the way, and that's good too. Amen. Are you ready to give? Father, thank you. You have been so good to us. You have met and supplied constantly our needs. Thank you. Receive from us right now and be glorified in this room in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you as you give. And they all ran away. Well, glory. Okay, I'm going to ruin a song. Go ahead. This is an old one.
I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary.
I told you it was old.
And I believe whatever the cost. And when time has surrendered and earth is no more, I'll still cling to the old rugged cross. I believe that this life with its great mysteries surely someday will come to an end.
It's coming, folks.
But faith will conquer the darkness and death, and will lead me at last to my friend. I believe that the Christ who was slain on that old cross has the power to change lives today.
You believe it?
Oh, for he changed me completely. A new life is mine, and that is why by his cross I will stay. Oh, I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. And I believe whatever the cost.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
And when time has surrendered and this old earth is no more, I'll still cling to the old rugged cross.
Amen. Yeah. Great. Thank you.
I believe that the Christ who was slain on the cross has the power to change lives today. Hallelujah. We're going to continue today our study on salvation. And we're in that section of assurance, the assurance of our salvation. How many of you are saved this morning? You know you are saved by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, praise God. If you are not sure, you can be sure. By his great grace. By his incredible forgiveness. That's where we've been. These are our assurances. When you really come to understand the reality of grace and how powerful his forgiveness is, you begin to walk a little bit taller, realizing, I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary that has washed my sins away. Not dependent on how wonderful I am, how good I can be, but on how incredible he is and the gifts that he gave us. Praise his name. Well, I want to read a couple of verses of scripture from Matthew chapter 9. If you have your Bibles, you might want to turn there.
Matthew chapter 9. Matthew is the first book in the New Testament, by the way. Jim, that was for you. I just thought. Matthew 9, verse number 16. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch will pull away from the garment, making the tear worse. Neither do people pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst, the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskin, and both are preserved. Lord, may the shadow of your presence, the glory of your presence be in this place. As we study your word, help us to gain. Help us to gain on the enemy who would constantly discourage us. Help us to gain on our flesh that constantly wants to tear us away from you and your holiness. Help us to gain in understanding that we are saved by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the privilege of studying your word. Bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, we have, in this assurance section, we have looked at grace and we have looked at forgiveness. And this morning, we need to take a look at the change that occurs when you are really redeemed. There is a change. Sometimes the person who's made the change may be the last to realize the change. Others around may notice it before you notice it yourself. But there is a change that occurs when you are really saved. That's what we want to talk about this morning. It's a story that I came across that I have hidden away. It's one of these that I've kind of tucked away because it's actually good for a number of things. When the Golden Gate Bridge was constructed in 1932, it was so risky in building that bridge that they dubbed it the Dance of Danger. Predictions were made that for every $1 million that was spent, that someone would die. The engineers on the bridge believed that the risk could be lowered if certain safety measures were put into place. Now, what you need to understand was, up until this point in time, none of these safety measures existed in the workplace. Hard hats were worn for the first time. Safety glasses were made mandatory. Tie-off lines were used, and no showboating policy was in place. In other words, they couldn't play around. Everybody had to stay serious. After 4 years and $20 million was spent, only one worker had died. The most effective safety device was, without question, the use of a trapeze net. The net cost $130,000 and was draped 60 feet below the roadbed under construction and extended 10 feet to each side. The net caught so many workers that the newspaper kept box scores on the total number of lives saved. Workers saved by the net were said to have joined the Halfway to Hell Club. Beyond this, the net was attributed to speeding the project because it freed the men from the paralyzing fear, which helped them to be more productive. Our Lord wants to change our lives. I said, our Lord wants to change our lives. Things that brought us fear in the past, he wants to relieve us of those fears. I know probably when I make a statement like that, that your mind goes where mine often goes to say, oh my goodness, I know a lot of Christians that are still fearful. We don't have to be. Sometimes we lock down on fears and won't let go of them. When he, in his perfect love, would like to lift that fear, that weight, that pressure off of us. Sometimes, you know, he would like to set us free from the things that destroy us. But sometimes we, as human beings, we want to hold on to some things. Whether it's because they bring us pleasure for a moment or two or whatever, but we want to hold on to them. And so, you know, we refuse his ability. But I'm telling you this morning, God wants to change us when we become his. That's what I want us to see this morning. We'll talk to you about the newness that we are promised in the Word of God. He doesn't want to just pour his spirit into an old, used up vessel. But he wants to make us a new creation. Oh, listen, don't hold your life back from the Lord. You may think in the moment when he is urging you to be to go in a different way than you've gone in the past, you may in that moment think, oh my goodness, that's too hard, or no, that's impossible, or oh, I'm just not sure I want to change. But listen to me this morning. When God wants to make a change, when he wants to make you new, it's glorious. It's because he's going to take you forward in your life. He's going to bless you in ways and in manners you can't see from back here. He says here, new wine into old wineskins will not work. How many of you have been in church for a few years, 5 years plus, okay? You've probably witnessed somebody come to the Lord and it just didn't work for them. Come on, let's be truthful. You seen that? It's sad, isn't it? You see them come to an altar. You hear the proclamation that they've accepted Christ. But then within just a very short period of time, they have washed their hands of spiritual things and they're back out into the world again. And you kind of scratch your head and you think, my goodness, how come? Many times it's right here. They tried to put spiritual things into an old wineskin. And the Lord wanted to make everything brand new. Luke 22:20 says, in the same way, after the supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. He has making a brand new, let's use another word, a brand new promise with those who will receive it. That he will pour into us brand new life, eternal. Eternal life is not just something that you and I receive when we die. Eternal life is something that you and I receive when we accept Christ as our Savior. Power of sin is broken. Sin and death go together. Hebrews 8:10 says, this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind, write them on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. That's not only for Israel, that's for us as well. He wants to write his law in our hearts and in our minds to take us in a brand new direction. We have to be willing. But you cannot say, I'm going to be the same person that I've always been. I'm going to do all the same things. Here's a toughie. I'm going to have all the same friends, do all the same things. But I want to be able to come to church on Sunday and know that I'm a believer. You'll do that for a little while, and you know what? Just like Jesus said, the wineskin will burst. You say, this thing just doesn't work. Where's the peace that they talked about? Where's the joy that they talked about? Pray and nothing happens. Well, it's because he wants to make us a new creation. Now, I can tell you this morning that it starts in the spirit man. The creative work begins in our spirit. And then his spirit in our spirit begins to speak to us. You don't need to go there. You would be better off not being with them. They'll be destructive to you. You don't need to take that now. He's so gentle. His spirit is so gentle within us as he is working from the inside. He creates a new place inside of us, a new spirit man, woman inside of us, and then begins to work from there on the flesh. We can call that sanctification if you would desire. But it is a progressive sanctification where our flesh begins to come under the authority and the control of his spirit in us. He promises us new birth. Even though Nicodemus couldn't get his head around this, Jesus said, you must be born again. Nicodemus said, how? Oh, hold on. How can I go back into my mother's womb? See, all he could think about was the flesh, the flesh. Jesus said, that which is born of water is water. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You must be born again, born from above, born of the Spirit of God. There has to be a change, if you will, of the authority of your life. 1 Peter 1:3 says, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In other words, he is setting us on a course, on a path that will last us all the way into eternity. Our salvation will be complete when we're in his presence. How do you believe that? He who began a good work in you will bring it through to completion. That was the confidence that Paul walked in. He said, I believe. I believe that he who started this thing in me is going to work it through to completion. Well, let me tell you, he begins by putting a new spirit in you and I. That's where the transformation occurs. It can occur in a moment. At an altar. It can occur with a single prayer. And that sometimes actually messes with us a little bit, because some people then think, well, it's just the words that I say. If I just say these words, if I repeat them back after the preacher, if I say this just right, then I'm going to get to heaven. No, no, no. The transformation into a new birth takes place in the realm of the Spirit. God is doing it. He's the one who creates in us the new man. The new woman. We talked about this before, but see, we used to say, well, you're going to stay at the altar until you pray through. Still not a bad idea. Pray through to what? Pray through to new birth. Pray through until your spirit has truly surrendered to the Lord. I think too many folks, they get up and they rush on out. I got it. You do that with the Holy Spirit as well. Speak a few words in an unknown tongue. I got it. And they never, from then on, ever speak in tongues. They never acknowledge or praise the Lord in the Spirit. They don't pray in the Spirit. They lost. They didn't gain. If you don't take the time to settle in and say, Lord, I surrender my life to you. Make me new. But if you will do that, the assurance of salvation comes and flows with it. The peace that passes all understanding, the joy unspeakable and full of glory, fall in line with that surrender of our lives, letting Him make us new. Promises us new life. Romans 6:4. We therefore buried with Him through baptism unto death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. You know, when you really add all of this up, new covenant, new birth, new life, new creation, new attitude, new self, new command, new name that He has given. When you add it all up, you realize the newness that God wants to bring to our lives. He is not wanting to pour the wine of His presence and Spirit into an old vessel. He's wanting to make us brand new. And I'll tell you what, to those that are really tired of sin, that are really tired of all the results of sin in their life, they're ready for something new. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Listen to this. The old is gone. Wait a minute. I'm still struggling with the flesh. Wait a minute. How can he say the old is gone? Folk, it is the intent, the desire, the heart. What are you desiring? If you're still on the track where your desire is to feed the flesh, to care for the flesh, to lift up the flesh, it won't take you in glorious places. It's when you begin to serve the Spirit of the Lord that is within you. That's when the assurance of the Lord begins to flow. That's when His peace, like a river, begins to flow. You see, too many of us, we love this world so much that even though we are redeemed, even though He is trying from within to make us a new creation in Christ Jesus, we're fighting with Him. His Spirit is saying, come, go with me. Come, spend some time with me. Can't, really busy, can't. Why? Because my flesh is on a pursuit. Just know this, the flesh isn't eternal. What the Spirit of God is wanting to do in us is to create this new creation that is an eternal presence, an eternal being. He wants to take us down a path that shapes us for His eternity. I believe that He is making us into what He wants to use in eternity. Now, for some folks, they picture heaven as being sitting around with crowns on their heads and walking on streets of gold, walking through gates of pearl. I got a mansion, da 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 da. The sounds of the church, yay. The reality is, I believe that we've got purpose up there. Our God is a God of purpose. He doesn't do anything by accident. I believe that He is building in His new creation that which He wants to use for all of eternity. So, oh my goodness, you mean I'm going to have to work up there? Listen, there'll be no more toil. There'll be no digging in the dirt in order to be provided for. All of our provisions will be like the Garden of Eden. The glory of the thing is that we will have use. We will be used by Him. And I believe He's wanting to prepare us for that. He's wanting to change us from within, getting control and getting power over our lives and over our flesh. I like that new attitude. He says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new, what? In the attitude of your mind. So again, it begins in our spirit, but then it begins to spread out into that trichotomy, if you will, of man, into the flesh and into our minds, so that our minds are different. We start thinking different, Gene. We start having different priorities. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. See it? Things that used to be important to us are no longer important, because now we are being driven by the Spirit from within, rather than all of the stuff and all the trinkets on the outside having an influence on us. Now, we're, the Spirit of the Lord within us is calling out, here's a new way. Here's a new path. Here's a new exciting way for you to have journey. You have never experienced real depth of joy until the Lord has dispatched you and someone else's life was changed. Oh my goodness. Because down in the depths of your soul, you realize, oh my goodness, this wasn't just a temporal thing. I didn't just make somebody feel good by some of my words, but they were just shaped for eternity. I remember, and I think I've told you about this gentleman before, but you know, one Sunday morning, a family came in and stretched out across. They were over on this side, on the second row across here. And you could tell they had not been churched. It was just all over them. You know what I'm talking about, right? The pain of life, the agony of living without God, it was on their faces. And I preached, I couldn't tell you what. I doubt that it was any real barnstormer anything. I did my best. But what God did, took a hold of that man and his wife, and they got up at the end of the service and they came down and met at the altar and gave their lives to Jesus. It was incredible. Wednesday of that week, I had his funeral. Monday morning, first thing, he was walking across the yard he worked for the state. He's walking across the yard and a woman driving, it doesn't matter there was a woman, but it was. She was driving a bulldozer, big, huge bulldozer, did not see him, ran right over him, killed him. They had never been in church their entire lives. The Holy Spirit drew them in, and they gave their heart to Jesus. And the next day, he was in glory. I can't tell you. Standing at that funeral, I thought in my mind what it would have been like, because it was one of the first funerals that I ever had that had a Harley Davidson. Yeah, a huge Harley Davidson was parked right next to the casket, because it was his life, and the whole place wore leather. And I thought in my mind and in my heart, I thought, what would this funeral have been like had they not had a change for eternity on Sunday morning? I've had those funerals. They're hard. As much as you want to, you can't assign them a place in heaven. So you have to try to dance around it. Still be kind to the family, still be loving, still be caring about their loss, but you can't say, there's hope. But oh, let me tell you something. I got to tell them. That's not just for me. That's for all of us. Living by the Spirit of the Lord. Walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Why? Because He wants to take you and I to places that we cannot even imagine. He wants to do things through us and in us that we could not even imagine. I was listening to an interview, let me see if I can remember his name, Oscar Isaac. He is an actor on several different shows, three different shows right at the same time. His name's Oscar Isaac. And I was listening as Terry Gross was interviewing him this week. And they got to talking about their early background. She out of, I think, the Baptist church, and he out of a Pentecostal church. He was talking about walking away from it and how it was all just so heavy, and his parents were really into it, and they believed in the apocalypse, and they believed that, you know, that the Lord was going to come back. They said this right on, you know, in the interview, that the Lord was going to come back and snatch a few people away, and all the rest of them were going to die and go to hell. And they were really in the process of this thing, just making such light of the whole thing that, you know, oh, so thankful that they had gotten away from the hardness and all the exactness of the church. The interview went on, and toward the end of the interview, she came right back to that. She said, "Do you ever regret leaving the church?" And you know, on the radio, you don't want silence, but there's this silence. He said, "Yeah." She said, "Well, where do you stand right now on spiritual things?" Great. It's a question I would have asked. He said, "Well, I'm searching." He said, "I really would like to get back there." Now, you'd had to listen to the first part of that interview to raise your eyebrows on that, because they were talking it down as though it was all stupid. It was all just nothing. It was something to be ignored. But now, you know, when he's really faced with it, he said, "I'm trying. I'm trying to get back there." There's an old song that says, "You don't know what you lost until it's gone." Let me tell you something. He wants to make us a new creation. It's not a bad thing what the Lord's wanting to do in our lives. He's wanting to make us new. Oh, and if we will hang on, hold on to the end, he'll give us a new name. I like that. I kind of wore this one out, you know. Can I talk to you for just a couple of minutes? I got about 5 minutes left. I want to talk to you about the other new thing. He wants to give us new freedom. You see, these are ways that we can know that we're saved. Beyond just saying that we're saved, we can know that we are saved. When his creative work is going on inside of us, from the inside, his Spirit is calling us to new territory, a new place. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. He wants us to live free. This world wants you and I to be in bondage. Do you realize that? The enemy of your soul wants you to be in bondage. Sometimes he will even encourage us to be in bondage to things that are not necessarily bad. So that when you look at him, you think, "Well, you know, really, I mean, compared to things that Gene does, He sat on the front row. I don't know what to tell you. And he picks on me constantly." No, you know, that's what we do. We compare ourselves to someone else, and that helps us in self-justification. But that is worthless. To be justified by Christ, that all of our justification comes in him. That's where the power is at. Where we recognize that if I am to be free, it will be because he has set me free. And then we will not, the rest of that, "Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." Galatians 5:1. You know, why? Because he set us free for freedom's sake. Now see, there's freedom, there's spiritual freedom, and there's physical freedom. Isaiah 61:1, listen to this, talking about Christ coming to bring freedom. "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for those who are captive and release for the prisoners. Hallelujah. You know, there are times that in our addictions and in our bondage that we revel in it. It's usually in moments. To say that sin is not fun is ignorance. There's a lot of sin that is fun for a season. But sin is bondage. Listen, John 8:34, I tell you the truth, Jesus said, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. When we choose the path of sin, when we rebel against God and we choose the path of sin, it enslaves us. It pulls us in. The promise of salvation is freedom from the power of sin. Listen to this. Romans 8 says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. That's real salvation, where His power of liberty comes and sets us free. You see, the penalty of sin is death. You know it, Romans 3:23, for the wages of sin is death. I'm glad it doesn't stop there. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. Blessing of salvation is freedom from death's penalty. Freedom to move toward eternal life. Now that's the spirit side. But there's a physical side, because sin affects our bodies. Paul said in Romans 7, I see another work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? See, that's the reality of just our flesh trying to fight against sin. We're weak. But He's not. His power living in us, His new creation, can conquer sin. Salvation through Christ offers us freedom from the traps and the bondages of sin. Listen to this, Romans 6. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to Him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under the law, but under His grace. Hallelujah. Oh, Flip Wilson, the devil made me do it. Devil can't. Not against the Lord. You and I, with the power over our lives and the decision making over our lives, we can give way to the desires of the evil one and of the desires of our flesh. But can I tell you this morning, you don't have to. Not if you are redeemed. Some of us just need to start telling the enemy that we're saved. When he starts speaking inside of us and encouraging us to do something that the spirit within us is saying no, we need to say to the enemy, get out, get behind me. I don't have to listen to you. I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now he'll whisper back at you and say, no, you're weak. But you say, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. You see, this is moving This is moving in the new creative freedom that the Lord has designed for our lives. He is wanting to move us. And each time that you gain victory over the enemy, it'll spark something within you that you realize, I am not powerless to sin. I am not powerless to the enemy. I am powerful in the Lord Jesus Christ. I wish I could tell you that somewhere along the line that he gives up, but he doesn't. Like a roaring lion, he seeks whom he may devour. But the more that you realize the creative work of God and the power that is in your life, sin does not have authority over a believer. You can tell no. You can tell it no. You can say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to speak that. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to do that thing. Because of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ in me. Can I tell you, your salvation will grow in intensity when you learn to conquer sin. Hallelujah. Oh, hey, the last one is this. There's freedom from death. Glory. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all sinned, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But listen, but thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, this is exactly what I'm looking for. I want all of you. I want all of you to conquer death. Oh, I do. You know, I want to, won't it be wonderful there? Come on, having no burdens to bear. Joyously singing with heart bells all ringing. Oh, won't it be wonderful there? They should write a song like that. Because see, then the enemy will not be pushing. Our flesh will not be trying constantly to get us to fail. But I want you to know, until then, you're not powerless. If you give your life over to the Lord Jesus Christ and his Spirit comes and takes residence in you, begin to listen to his Spirit. He wants to make you brand new. My Bible tells us, and it's beyond our imagination, but one of these days, the heavens and the earth will pass away. And he says, all things will become new. You see, we have a creative God, a God who likes new things. And you know where he has started in his process? With old sinners like us. He says, I'll begin my new creation work in a bunch of people that don't deserve it. And if they'll turn their lives to me, I'll begin my new creation in them. And then I'll carry them with me as a bride throughout eternity. Hallelujah. Church, it's time to start living like a new creation. The devil wants to tear you down, beat you down, tell you you're no good. Get your life right with Christ and stand. And stand. Tell him who you belong to. Let him know there's victory in Jesus. Father in heaven, I thank you this morning. Oh, for the assurances that you give us of our salvation. That your grace, oh, your grace, your forgiveness is complete. But Lord, help us also as we leave this house today to realize your desire in making all things new begins in us. May we not be satisfied, Lord, with just putting a little fresh wine, a little freshness of your Spirit inside of us on a Sunday morning. But Lord, may we give our lives to you, that you can make us brand new by the miracle of salvation and through the help and ministry of your Spirit. I pray, Master, if there's one person in this room who has never truly accepted you as their Savior and the Lord of their life, that today, before we leave this house, that they would settle. Their life's greatest issue would be settled. In Jesus' name. Can I take just a moment? Is there anyone in the room who would lift up your hand? Say, Pastor Bill, I know about Jesus, but I've never really let him into my life. And today, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want him to make me new. By his grace, through his forgiveness, to make me a new creation. If you just slip up your hand, I would love to pray with you. I'm not going to embarrass you. That's not my intent. I just want to walk part of this journey with you. Is there anyone who would slip up their hand and say, Pastor Bill, I want to know Jesus today. I want to know him real. Is there anyone? Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. I wonder if there's some here in this room who would slip up a hand and say, Pastor, I want to begin to live as a new creation. I believe I've accepted Christ, but I've been just trying to put new wine into an old vessel, and I want to just give my life to him. I want all things to become new. I wonder if I might pray with you. Just slip up a hand. Is there one? Yes, Lord. Stand with me, church. Ah, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. As always, these altars are open. If you want to spend time with the Lord, we welcome you. If you'd like to have prayer, our elders would be pleased to anoint you with oil and pray for you, believe with you for a miracle. God still does miracles, right? He is still the God who heals us, right? Yeah. Father in heaven, let your blessings just fall upon us as we leave this house, go about another week. You know what the week holds. Who knows, maybe heaven for someone in here. I thank you this morning that we can walk in the assurance of salvation. You've given us good and great promises to hold on to. Now, O Lord, as we leave this house, may we walk as new creations in Christ. And may your blessings flow not only on us, but through us to a hurting world this week. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Love one another as you go this morning. God bless you. Thank you for being with us.